Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
it's Science Monday.
We examine the rare blood type R
and the element number 2. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Jim.
We're in the basement this week.
We're downstairs, like, underneath the blasting air conditioner right now.
It feels great. It's pretty nice,
yeah,
right?
It's really comfortable. It's the first time I haven't sweated all day.
So, yeah, and you know what's funny about this? I don't know how you deal with this in your house, mm-hmm. but, well, first of all, it's about 95 degrees outside.
The smear of humidity.
I'd love to be out on the deck, but it's just too hot.
We can't do it.
And we have a two-story house here with the basement,
mm-hmm.
and what we have to do in order to maintain some level of comfortable temperature on the upstairs is we like close all the vents in the basement
exactly.
and then on the main floor too. So the only vents open are in the upstairs.
A lot of the cold air
mm-hmm. all goes up there, and then it kind of filters down. But it's really comfortable down in this basement, right?
Perfect down here. Yeah, you could stay down here and not even know that it's searing heat outside. You don't have to go out till it gets dark.
Actually, I kind of wonder why I don't just live down here, and probably my wife wonders that too. So, okay, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs, and the other night, a few nights ago, was sort of a rare.
It was
occurrence.
A weird one.
It was sort of like what happens with like a solar eclipse or a blood moon or something like that, right? Where all the planets line up or something, right?
It's real bizarre.
We both went to shows, mm-hmm. but not the same show.
No, isn't that weird?
Yes.
It was real weird.
In D.C.
Yep.
Got out of the suburbs, went into D.C.
It's like a Tuesday night.
Was it? Yeah.
I think it was.
Yes, yeah, so it was like a Tuesday night, mm-hmm. which was,
real weird.
We had stuff to do the next day. Yeah. We still went out and mm-hmm. did it, but it was not the same show. So we're each going to talk about the shows we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll go first. Is that cool?
Yeah, and I will say a quick disclaimer. Unfortunately, our schedules got a little messed up this week, but Jasper Colt was also out that night, and he went to another different show.
Yes.
So,
listeners might remember Jasper's been on before, and
absolutely.
We wanted to have him on here
because
he went to see White Reaper that night.
It's a band that we both like a lot.
It's a band we both like a lot, and I wanted to go to that show,
so did I.
I was planning to go to that show, mm-hmm. and then I realized as the show was approaching that I already had tickets to another show.
Yeah. And I sort of had a similar situation. So.
Right. So, and unfortunately, Jasper could not be on today as we're recording this to give us his report, but I know he really liked it. And it was cool. And it was sold out. White Reaper was sold out
at
DC9, which mm-hmm. is a small club, mm-hmm. but it shows that that band is ready to go on to bigger
things. It's growing.
Things. I'm ready for mm-hmm. them to play 930 Club. I think they would rock that house.
I completely agree. That'd be a great spot for them.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I'm ready. So guys, next time, let's do that. But anyway.
Reaper.
Okay. The show I went to was at 930 Club.
Mm-hmm.
And people who aren't familiar with DC, that is sort of the prime music venue as far as clubs go.
That's the
right?
premier club venue, not only in DC, but it's very well known across the country. I mean, it's a pretty landmark place when you're playing the 930 Club. Holds about, what does it hold, like 1,400?
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
like
probably
that?
Around
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. Yep. They do a funny thing there. You told me this.
Yep.
Where they can move the stage back and forth make it seem full even when it's
it'll never
sales
seem
were
like
down.
There's hardly anybody there because they actually have this cool stage that'll move forward and make the venue feel a lot fuller.
That's right.
And they'll pull the curtain back to make it the stage not seem, you know, like it's cavernous either.
That's right. That's a that's
very
an amazing
mm-hmm.
club trick.
Yeah.
I never would have thought, never ever would have occurred to me until you pointed that out to me one time. But this was a full show. This was the stage all the way back.
Great.
Sold out. The band was called Royal Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went to this show because a friend of ours, myself and my wife, had seen them on their last tour through DC. Actually, my wife went with her. So they went to the show
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't go for some reason the last time through. And then they came back through on this new tour and she was like, you guys, you know, we got to go. We got to go. Jim, you missed it last time. You got to go see these guys. They're incredible. So I was like, okay, let's go. And so this was some time ago. Got the tickets. And like I said, didn't realize until the show was coming up, like, oh, yeah, we're going to the show. Okay. So Royal Blood, let me just set this up because I you're not really familiar with them,
no,
right?
No, not at all. Okay. I wasn't familiar with the band at all.
This is going to be one of the more bizarre things you've ever heard.
Okay.
Okay? It's a two-piece. A couple of guys out of England.
Okay.
Or UK. I don't know if it's actually England.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things, you know, one of the trends, I think, sort of in music that's happened over the last 10, 15 years or whatever, is this idea of duos.
Yes.
that are actually like true duos, you know, who even perform as such.
That's
so
right.
You think of the White Stripes,
yeah,
and those, then the Black Keys,
back to those
and stuff
guys,
like that,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these guys are. There are two guys out of Brighton.
Okay.
And their names are... Their names are Mike Kerr and Ben Thatcher.
Okay.
Now, unlike the White Stripes or the Black Keys, if you think of them, those two bands are guitar and drums.
Yeah.
No bass.
Right.
This is bass and drums.
Really? That's
only.
Unusual.
Okay.
Mm.
Right. So you're initially thinking, how does that work?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless he's playing like a modified six-string bass or,
no.
You know, with a lot of effects or something.
Well, you're partly right
okay.
on this. So, okay. So first let me start with the drummer.
Okay.
Drummer's Ben Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
He plays, you know, for like the live presentation of this, he plays on a riser that is unlike any I've ever seen. He's like way up there,
really?
Right? It's like feet. Up in the air, right?
Right. Like the old Kiss drum set where Peter Criss was way up in the
way
air.
Way up,
yeah,
right?
The steps.
And
yeah.
It's sort of, because it's a two-piece, you know, he's like on the, as you're facing, looking at the stage, he's on the right side. And then Mike, who plays the bass, is mm-hmm. on the left side, right? So these sort of have, like, dominate the stage. But it's this enormously high riser. He's like way up there because he needs to be one of the focal points
yeah.
of the thing. So there's that. And he was a really good drummer, you know, really powerful. You got to be, you got to fill a lot of space beyond just what the average drummer would do in a two-piece.
Yep.
Now, Mike, who plays the bass and sings, the way this works is he has a lot. So it's a four-string bass, normal four-string bass,
yeah.
right? But when you said effects,
yeah.
that's the thing.
Okay.
That's the key
okay.
difference. There's a lot of effects pedals and stuff like that he's always working.
Mm-hmm.
And then right behind him are three stacks of speakers, each with like, you know, mic'd with like a microphone sort of hanging from the top, right? You
yeah.
know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where mm-hmm. they sort of drape it over uh-huh. the top and mm-hmm. then it like hangs down. But there's three of them.
Interesting.
And in reading about how this works is apparently the effects pedals put different sounds from his bass into the speakers like through separate channels.
I
okay?
see. Okay. So it's not all running through one big
right.
speaker. Right.
So each of those three is getting something different out of his
I
bass.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So he can really create a more layered kind of a sound out
right.
of his instrument. Got it.
So the thing is, it doesn't sound like a bass.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It sounds like a guitar.
What a unique
although
approach.
When you really listen to it, as I was watching him play and really sort of like trying to really focus my attention on what the sounds were, I mean, you can it's layered so you can hear some bass
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
coming out, but you also hear this like sounds like a fuzz box guitar kind of coming out
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just playing. I mean, I think there's some chords, but it's obviously not like guitar chords. You know, it might be like
yeah.
two notes or things
yeah.
like that, but a lot of it could just be single notes, but it comes out in this different way that's really kind of hard to describe.
Mm-hmm.
If you were listening on the record, you probably would have no idea of this, but watching him play and sing,
you can kind of pick it apart.
It's a
visually,
really
yeah,
kind of
interesting.
It's a really bizarre thing
mm-hmm.
to hear all this sound coming out of this one
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
The kind of stuff they play is, it's very blues based.
Okay.
It actually sounds in a lot of ways similar to White Stripes or even some ways Jack White's solo work
mm-hmm.
in some of the songs. There's also been comparisons to Queens of the Stone Age.
Mm, okay.
Honestly, it kind of all goes back to Led Zeppelin for me.
Well,
like, there's a very much kind of, you know, Zeppelin blues rock.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
You know, influence coming here. It's
yeah.
very, like, hard and heavy in the sound. They're trying to really fill up a lot of space here.
Yep.
You know, you and I have joked before about shows that are like chin stroking
yeah.
shows, right?
That's right.
This is more like power stance kind of show,
got
right?
It.
You know,
yep.
you kind of find yourself kind of standing. With like one foot kind of in front of the other and kind of rocking back and forth and
yeah.
listening to stuff, you know?
Got it.
There was actually a mosh pit happening.
Oh, sweet.
you know, in the 930 club, in a packed 930 club. So it was pretty powerful stuff. It's a lot of low end, as you can imagine, coming from a bass
gut
driven kind of sound.
Nails
so
in the gut.
It's pretty heavy in that way.
What was the, would you say the overall demographic of the audience was? Was it easy to pin down? Or
it was mostly younger.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, not super young, but younger, you know. I mean, I think this band is relatively new. They're only about to release their second album.
Oh,
actually,
okay,
by the time this podcast episode publishes, that second album would be out.
Oh.
And it is called, just so you know, How Did We Get So Dark? And
okay.
It's out June 16th.
Okay.
Their first album was called just Royal Blood, and that came out in 2014. So that's it. You know, they're pretty new band.
Yep.
So they have a younger following, but I wouldn't say it's like, you know, teenagers or that kind of thing.
Got
right?
it. You know? So you weren't mistaken for a dad standing in the back of the
room.
No,
and there were some older people there too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think it appeals to, you know, kind of a range because it has that blues based kind of thing.
I can
right?
see that.
You know, you're going to get some older fans too.
Totally.
But anyway, so it was really a really interesting experience just to watch, you know, just to watch how they're putting out this sound and what it's like. And people really seem to like it. I mean, there people are like really into this band.
Yeah.
So that was Royal Blood.
Okay.
And why don't we hear, before we go to our little break here, one of their songs. Now, this would be actually one of their more poppy songs, and it's just a good jam. So let's hear that. The song is called Figure It Out. We'll listen to that, and then we'll come back, and you're going to talk about the show you went to.
Yes, right? I will. All
Here
right. it goes. Nothing here to see, just to kill out me, trying to cut some tea, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still on here trying to figure it out. Getting hard to sleep, blood is in my dreams. Love is killing me, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still in here trying to figure it out.
Patrick, one of my favorite things about listening to Rock in the Suburbs myself is when I hear the music at the top of every show.
I can't imagine the show without it, Jim. It's just like an amazing rock and roll riff, and I play air drums every single time.
And I play air guitar.
Oh,
all we need
beautiful.
Is a bassist,
that's
and we right. would have a full air band. But we know the guys in the real band.
Yeah, we do.
It's called Quart Jar. They're out of Knoxville, Tennessee. They provide us with that awesome music, and what we would encourage our listeners to do is check out some of their other music, too.
Yeah.
You can go to quartjar42.com, and you can find all their albums, including their latest one, which is called Squatch, an Odyssey in Space and Time.
Basically, you know, just a simple kind of normal rock and roll album about traveling across the universe and listening to, like, the Universal Record Station and just basically trying to get out of Earth before Earth explodes, because Jimi Hendrix really is Randall Brown and Quart Jar really is the Jimi Hendrix experience. But, you know, that's just my theory.
Whoa, you're kind of blowing my mind here. Okay, I'm back. And you can find Quart Jar also on Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, all kinds of places like that. So you should check them out on this cosmic trip through life. Okay, we're back, and what did you think of the Royal Blood?
Well, I thought you did a great job of describing it, Jim. Right. Yeah, you were right on point. I think we heard a little bit of sort of duo rock of like White Stripes, maybe a little Black Keys, right, with that blues, and then that break. That was all Zeppelin,
yeah,
like you were saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Cool.
So it was an enjoyable show.
It was. It was really fun. It was a good experience. Cool. So, and oh, and our friend Mike Snyder went with us,
oh,
too.
Oh, no way. So Snyder, it's always fantastic. Good to see Snyder. Yeah. Yes. When he's there, it's always a bonus.
It's a party.
Yeah.
Okay, so what show did you see that same night?
Yeah, I went on the same night to see sort of a reunion show, but maybe not in a strict sense. But the band was actually wasn't the band. So if you're familiar with Mary Timoney, she's a Washington, D.C. born, bred singer, songwriter, and guitar player, electric guitarist. She's probably best known for being in a band called XX, which is playing this summer some. And then another band called Wild Flag that she was in with Carrie Brownstein.
Right.
It was like a one-off project that they sort of did together. But she was also from 1992 to about 1997 in a band called Helium.
Mm-hmm.
That was based in Boston. They put out two records on the Matador label, 95 and 97, I believe. So 95 was The Dirt of Luck, and 97 was The Magic City. And Matador has just reissued both of those records.
Okay, I'm excited.
And yeah, and they, along with a new compilation called Ends With And, that compiles an early EP called Pirate Prude and a couple of their early 7-inches and some B-sides and some unreleased stuff that Mary found in her archives. So that all, it just came out last week or the week before. So Mary is playing the songs of Helium on a short tour to promote those. So she's playing about 7 or 8 shows and kicked the tour off in D.C. On last week, the same night you were at Royal Blood. And man, it was wonderful. Neither the original sort of her partner in Helium, Ash Bowie, he was in a band called Polvo. I don't know if you remember them. They're on the Merge label. They put out some really good indie records in the 90s. And then the drummer was a guy called Sean Devlin, who I believe at one time was in the band Dump Truck, who we talked about before from Boston.
And we need to talk about that more.
Yeah, we need to talk more about Dump Truck. I found some Dump Truck vinyl. I was embarrassed. I didn't have any that day you looked. So, but anyway, so she had a couple of a bass player and a drummer there with her and another female guitar player. So they formed a very nice backing unit for Mary, and she played for about an hour, a little bit more, went through all the highlights of the Helium catalog. She played at the Rock and Roll Hotel. It was almost capacity. Very much a mix of people, I think, that saw Helium in the early days, as I did many times, and really liked the band and were glad to see her playing those songs again. And then some people who probably had discovered her through Wild Flag or XX and came to know her work retroactively and probably are now taking advantage of getting this Helium material that's out. The 7-inches are really hard to find, and the EPs have been out of print for a while. So it was a really nice kind of mixture, and there was obviously friends and family there, and she seemed pretty relaxed, and was really nice. And she's a great guitar player. I would describe their music as something very unique in mid-90s indie. Even though it was on Matador, the music does not bear a lot of resemblance to other stuff. There are elements of prog rock in there, like there was a clear Yes influence on some of these songs, but Mary, her lyrics are extremely singular, and she wrote very intensely personally, and she also wrote almost in a fantasy type way where things became, so built up in her mind, in her lyrics, that they come off as very, very unique. And she also, did not have a problem and still doesn't toying with the notion of femininity and sexuality and sex as power and power as sex and vice versa. So the thing for me, Jim, that I was most impressed about was how fresh everything sounded. It didn't sound like somebody up there playing, songs that were sort of like from the Pavement or Sebado era that maybe had all the indie rock tropes in them, with like the stop and starts and the loud quiets,
right.
None of that stuff. The songs really held up really well. And I just thought it was wonderful. I was a Helium fan head over heels from the beginning. So for me, it was a real treat. And I was really glad she did them all justice.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, and I saw a few faces from the old days that I recognized with a lot more gray hair, a lot less hair, like me. So it was cool.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I would like to have Mary on the show sometime.
Oh, that would be great.
Mary Timoney, that would be great. If you're listening, I know you are. Come on, talk with us, because the Helium stuff is fantastic, but you know, both the Wild Flag and the XX records are both great too, in very different ways.
That's right. And very different. Yeah. And I would say the main difference I think between those two records and the Helium stuff is the Helium stuff is not sort of, I mean, I almost think of like the Wild Flag and the XX as like chiseled down to these really tight little, you know, pop songs. These are long 8-9 minute epics at times. Right. And that just have long guitar solos in them. So it's very different in that sense too. And yeah, very fresh. So it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. So you're going to play some Helium for us in a little bit. Okay. Before we do that, let's just say that you and all your friends and Mary Timoney should listen to Rockin' the Suburbs.
Every day.
Every day. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, or TuneIn. You can also visit our website, which is suburbspod.com, which not only has some great show notes, and you can listen to the show there, but also has some other writings from people like Dan Gursky.
That's right. Dan Gursky wrote a lovely piece that a lot of people are reading.
And we have some other writers who are going to be contributing soon.
Friend Adam is going to be cracking the whip, and we got a bunch of other people.
And some stuff that we have written as well.
Yeah.
So check that out. Also, you can contact us via the phone.
Yeah.
Suburban Party Line is
612-440-1984.
Leave a message there. Or email us rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @suburbspod. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And what are we going to hear, Patrick?
We're going to hear a song appropriately from Helium Jim titled Pat's Trick. And this comes from The Dirt of Luck, 1995. But here it is in all its remastered glory.
All right, cool. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. That's Zeppelin right there.
Oh, yeah, totally.